I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, then shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Jesus loves even me. Jesus loves even me.
All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 7. I'm going to back up and read a couple of more verses before verse 54. We're going to start with verse number 51. I'll read it again all the way through to the end of the chapter, Acts chapter 7, and starting with verse 51 there, if you would. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I want you to notice in verse number 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One. It mentions people having been slain for their stand for the Lord. And then I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 52, the end of it, he mentions the Just One also, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Here mentions them taking the life, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, theologically, we know that they were not responsible for his death. Jesus laid down his life of himself for us. It was pre-planned, right? We know that. But yet, from the human standpoint, they took the Lord Jesus' life. They cried, "Crucify him." And then if you would notice in verse number 60, we'll start at 59, "And they stoned Stephen," calling upon God, not they calling upon God, Stephen, who was calling upon God, "saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So we see prophets mentioned here as having given their lives for the Lord. We see Jesus mentioned as having given his life, in essence, for us. And we see Stephen mentioned here as giving his life for the Lord. We've been preaching about being found faithful, being found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be what? Found faithful." Faithfulness with our stewardship individually and faithfulness to the one who made us stewards is a divine imperative. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God has a requirement for you and me this morning. It's to be faithful with what he's committed to us and faithful to him. It's required. We've preached found faithful. We've preached we all need to be faithful. All of us can be found faithful. We've preached Moses was faithful in all of his house. We've preached Joseph was found faithful. We preached Jesus was faithful to love, and John the Beloved reflected that faithfulness to love. Last Sunday we preached no fault faithfulness. Daniel was faithful to the degree that no fault was found in him with the stewardship, or stewardships, plural, that were entrusted to him. And he was promoted accordingly and greatly used of God with no fault faithfulness. Today I want to talk about another aspect of faithfulness. Jesus said this, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus spoke of being faithful to him even through death. Today I want to talk about fatally faithful. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word and, Lord, what it means to us. And we're challenged to let you, your word, your will, become more and more meaningful in our lives to the degree that we would even be willing to give our lives for them. I pray that you'd bless the thoughts this morning, that you'd speak to our hearts. If there's anybody here that's not saved, may the Holy Spirit have liberty to work in that heart today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Fatally faithful. Stephen. We read Stephen here about him becoming a martyr for Christ. Stephen was completely dedicated to the Lord. A young man. Completely dedicated to the Lord. He had trusted Christ as his Savior when it wasn't popular among the Jews. He stood against his religious leaders because they rejected the Savior they should have received and should have promoted. Stephen became a deacon evangelist. He condemned the people for their hard-hearted stubbornness that resulted in Jesus Christ being crucified. He condemned the people for their fathers persecuting and even killing former prophets. He called upon the people of his day in this scripture here to have repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen was a man of God that stood up for Christ and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the same gospel too, by the way. Amen. The gospel they believed is the gospel that we believe, that we preach and we proclaim, and that you need to believe if you're not saved. Then we read where Stephen was stoned to death for Christ by those to whom he preached. Here he is. Now that wasn't his intention. His intention was to share the gospel, to preach, but he preached and was stoned to death for that. Jesus, or the Bible tells us in Hebrews, we haven't resisted unto blood yet. But there are Christians around the world who are suffering even unto death, as Stephen did. Stephen was faithful, and in this passage of Scripture, as are others in Scripture, he was found fatally faithful. It resulted, his faithfulness resulted specifically in his death that day. Because he was faithful to Christ, faithful to the Old Testament message, faithful to God, faithful to himself. Because of these things, he actually died there that day because he was faithful. Found faithful, fatally faithful. What are the ingredients in someone's life like Stephen? They're very simple, that I think help us to become fatally faithful, if need be. First of all, there's a dying to sin. Dying to sin. Stephen had to come to the place in his life where he saw himself a sinner, and as a sinner, he put his faith in Jesus Christ to save him. He had to die to sin. You know, some people are not willing to come to the place where they'll look at themselves and say, you know, I am a sinner. My sin would send me to hell. I need a Savior. But no one gets saved until they become dead to sin. Okay, I'm dead in trespasses and sin. I need to be saved. He'd come to the place where he saw or had seen his helplessness as a sinner. If you're here today and you're not saved, you are helpless. There's nothing you could do to pull yourself out of the condemnation boat of sin. Nothing you could do. It's all in the person of Christ. And Stephen had come to the place where he saw his helplessness as a sinner. He'd come to the place where he saw his hopelessness also as a sinner. Sinners are not only helpless, they're hopeless. There is no hope for a person who is not saved. The Bible says they're without hope. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, talking about thinking of those who've gone on before us, it says, we do not sorrow as others who have no hope. No hope. A person who is not saved has no hope. There is no future consolation for them. And Stephen had to have come to the place where he saw his hopelessness as a sinner. Had to die to that. Dying to sin. He'd come to the place where he saw his only hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to die to his sin and trust his Savior, get saved, and then die to sin to become spiritual in his walk for God. You know, Christians have to die to sin daily. Paul said he buffeted his body and he said, I die daily. He didn't physically die daily. But he had to put down the old man. The reason why some people cannot faithfully or do not faithfully live for Christ is because they do not die daily to sin. It has dominion. Romans says, what shall we continue in sin? The grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. And so a person who's willing to become fatally faithful first knows dying to sin. I hope you are. Put it down. The second is dying to self. Dying to self. Wednesday night in our Bible study, I threw out the phrase there that we're familiar with. The middle letter of the word sin is what? I. And for someone to become faithful to the point they'd be willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, they have to learn to die then to self. Die to self. Which leads us to become serving. When we die to self, we want to serve the Lord. So you serve one of two people, yourself or the Lord. Well, you may serve the devil, but that's connected with self. And dying to self, serving the Lord, he began as a young man. Now, Stephen, I'm not sure how old he was here. Most people believe he was in his early 20s here. We need young men and women that will forget their lives, their selves, and say, I want to live out and out for Jesus Christ and die to self. He put aside some personal ambition. I don't know what he wanted to become before that, but I know what he did become because he died to self. He became a great preacher that was well known, a person serving in the church and preaching the gospel, willing to die for Jesus Christ. Dying to self, he became a serving, working Christian, dying to his own personal ambitions, dying to his own personal desires, dying to his own personal praise. You're not very popular when you tell several thousand people they're stiff-necked and hard-hearted. He didn't read How to Win Friends and Influence People, did he? No, he was preaching the truth. And he had died to self. It didn't matter what people thought of him. Now, we ought not take that to an extreme and say, I don't care what people think, so I'm just going to do what I want to do in a rude and brash and obnoxious way. We ought to be tactful, truthful, and tactful at the same time. He was there. Dr. John R. Rice once said, don't worry so much about tact that you don't make contact. Some people are so worried about saying something they might offend. Listen, I'd rather offend someone to Christ than offend them to hell too, right? They're already headed to hell. You're not going to offend them to hell further. Be careful how you present it, but, you know, if they get offended at what you say and the gospel that you represent, that's on them. We should be careful not to be obnoxious, but we ought to be able to present the truth. And it takes dying to self. Forget about what people may think. Living for Jesus, the songwriter said, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. That's the way the Christian ought to be. Dying to self. Saying, I'm not going to pursue my own things. You know, I can remember that process in my life as a young Christian, having served the Lord in the military. And, you know, the military was a good way to live for a young man with a young family. You know, medical bills paid. And back, you know, I don't want to date myself, but of course, I'm thinking all kinds of funny things I could say, but I won't. You know, back in the day, in the 70s, for people to have medical insurance with a job was a really major thing. Not everybody had medical insurance. You know, and that was a great security in the military. But I remember I'd gotten saved during the military, and I just had a burning passion to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a burning passion to be where God wanted me to be, to do what God wanted me to do, to serve Him. And I realized that if I stayed in the Army, now there are chaplains in the Army, but that's where God has led them. I realized that staying in the Army would cause me to be moved and manipulated and controlled by Uncle Sam. And I made a choice to get out of the Army because I wanted to serve the Lord. Worked a secular job, for a couple secular jobs there, until finally I believed in my heart that God had called me to preach. Turned down a job to as a store manager one place, and because of some reasons, but it was just coming to the place where I would say, you know what? What I ever wanted to be, what I ever thought, dreamed to be, doesn't really matter. What matters is that I become what God wants me to be. And you know, there's nothing as rewarding as doing in life what you know the Lord wants you to do. It doesn't mean full-time service for everybody. It just means that we set self aside to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? These are the type of people that become willing to be fatally faithful. Dying to sin, number two. Dying to self, number three. Dying to survival. Some people will do anything to live. Today, most people seek to live at all cost in this way. Many are ready to compromise everything just to survive. Well, if it means a promotion in my job, if it means betterment for me, I'll compromise some things in my life to survive. Dying to survival. Stephen was taken, and the multitude hurled stones at him until he was dead, and I don't believe they were pea gravel. They hurled stones at him until he was dead. I don't recall him in the scripture here recanting, "Hey, I really didn't mean it." I don't recall him saying, "Please give me a second chance. I won't call you stubborn." I don't recall him begging for mercy in this passage. I don't even recall him condemning them for their deed. He did not change his stated beliefs for the chance to survive. But instead, in verse 56 of Acts chapter 7, you read, he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen knew what it was to die to survival. He wasn't going to do anything just to live. He was going to live by his convictions, even when it meant death for him. And his convictions were not only about Christ, but how he ought to be as a Christian. Instead of railing accusations against them, he cried as Jesus on the cross. Similarly, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Boy, I tell you what, in my life, that's a hard thing to do. "Lord, lay it to their charge and double up on it, please. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." That shows his whole heart, his whole being, resigned from self, resigned from sin, resigned from survival to stand for Christ. And what mattered was that he was true to the message, true to the Savior, true to what he had been, even though his faithfulness became fatal for him. There are many others. Of the apostles, I'll name a few. Thomas, history says, was slain with a dart. Simon, Jude's brother, was crucified in a city in Egypt. Simon Zelotes was crucified. Mark was drawn with ropes to the fire and burned. Bartholomew was beaten down with staves, crucified, then beheaded. Andrew, Peter's brother, was crucified, and it's said that Andrew testified this. He said he would not have preached the honor and glory of the cross if he had feared the death of the cross. When Andrew was crucified, he said, "O cross, most welcome and longed for, with a willing mind, joyfully and desirously, I come to thee, being a scholar of him which did hang on thee, because I've always been thy lover and have coveted to embrace thee." He was dead to survival, wasn't he? If living for Christ meant dying for Christ, he was ready to do it. Matthew was run through with a spear. Philip was crucified and stoned. and his daughters with him. Remember Philip the evangelist and his daughters also evangelized? He was crucified and stoned with his daughters. The Jews who rejected Christ were endeared at that time with the Roman government to help see to it that Christians were persecuted. Then there was Peter. Years before Peter died, the Lord Jesus, and we have a record of this in Scripture, the Lord Jesus had asked Peter if he loved him. And there's a lot to that whole questioning. We won't get into it. He asked Peter if he loved him. And the end result, the point was this, that if he did, he was to feed and shepherd his sheep and his little lambs. And then Jesus told Peter about his future. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." The Lord Jesus told Peter, they're going to carry you to a place you wouldn't go on your own. History says that place was that he was crucified upside down because Peter said that he did not have the right to be crucified the same way the Lord was. Fatally faithful. Under Nero, Paul was martyred, being beheaded for the cause of Christ. But listen to what Paul had said. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He was dead to personal survival, wasn't he? Because he was alive for Jesus Christ. In the second century, Ignatius, the pastor at Antioch, writing to other Christians to discourage them from trying to rescue him from martyrdom, wrote this. Now, if you knew I was captured and was going to be martyred, you'd do what you could to get me out of the situation, probably. He wrote them saying this, "Now I begin to be a disciple. I care for nothing of visible or invisible things so that I may but win Christ. Let the fire and the cross, let the companies of wild beasts, let the breaking of bones and the tearing of limbs, let the grinding of the whole body and all the malice of the devil come upon me. Be it so, only may I win Christ." Dead to survival. When sentenced to be thrown to wild beast, he said, Ignatius of Antioch, he said, "I'm the wheat of Christ. I'm going to be ground with the teeth of wild beasts that I may be found purebred." The Lord gave the Apostle John a message to the church at Smyrna. We've read it. He gave this message toward the end of the first century through the Apostle John, and this is the message to Smyrna. Listen to it. "Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death." Be thou faithful unto death. "And I'll give thee a crown of life." Shortly after that, in the second century, Polycarp, pastor of Smyrna, was burned and pierced confessing himself a Christian. He's recorded as saying in answer to those who called upon him to renounce Christ, he's recorded as saying, 86 years have I served him, my Lord and my King, and he hath done me no wrong. How can I then blaspheme him who has saved me? He was fatally faithful. Here again, Jesus, as he said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. To love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart may mean for some of us someday that we could be faced with the loss of our own lives for him. It could mean that. History is spattered with accounts of many who were fatally faithful. Hebrews tells us about some people in the Old Testament. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, listen, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. A good report through faith, they were faithful to the point of it being fatal for them. I say, may we be found faithful, even fatally faithful if need be. Hebrews 11:35 says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection. Those who were faithful to the point of it becoming fatal for them, according to the Scripture, have a better resurrection. They receive the crown of life for giving their life even for the Lord. And I don't think we ought to look for bullets to jump in front of. But I think we ought to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, that regardless of what it means, even if it resulted in death, we would stand for Jesus Christ. Think of Stephen, who said, as he was being fatally faithful, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. In dying, Stephen saw the heavenly welcoming committee, the blessed Lord who had suffered, bled, and died, who had risen from the dead, standing to greet him as he, Stephen, had been found faithful. That risen Savior who welcomed Stephen was faithful even to the death of the cross, faithful to rise from the grave, so that you and I could be saved by his faithfulness. Have you died to sin to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It's hard for some people to say, I'm at odds. I'm a sinner. But you need to. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you died to sin to trust Christ as your personal Savior? As a Christian, are you dying to self to serve Jesus faithfully today? It's what it comes to. It's not about living for you. It's about living for him if you're a Christian. And I ask a question. Are we willing to die to survival if it means being faithful to Jesus. Someone asked a preacher years ago, said, I don't know if I'd be willing to die for Jesus. How could I know if I'd be willing to die? And a great answer, I think, was given. If you're willing to live out and out for Jesus Christ today, you'd be willing to die for Him tomorrow. Stephen lived out and out for Jesus and died in His faithfulness. Let's just be faithful, amen? I'm not looking for a lynching mob. I'm looking to lift up the Savior. But if lifting up the Savior means a lynching mob, so be it. Let's stand for Jesus, amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Perhaps you're here this morning and as a Christian, you've been holding back some things from the Lord. Please die to self. Say like Paul, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why don't you die to your own will, your own whims, your own direction, and say, Lord Jesus, I want to yield myself to Your will. Would You do that today? Lord, I want to do Your will. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. His will is that you be saved. He's not willing that any would perish. He does not force that on anybody. The Scripture says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him. If you're not saved, the only reason would be because you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you. Are you willing to die to sin? Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe You died for me. Please come into my heart and save me. I wonder if there's anyone under the sound of my voice this morning who would say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I want to make sure of that in my own life. How many would say, Preacher, by the grace of God as a Christian, I want to die to self more and more, to live unto Christ in such a way that should it ever happen, I'd be willing to be fatally faithful because I love my Savior and I know He has wonderful things for me regardless of what happens to me in this lifetime. Pray for me that I'd grow in grace to that extent. Pray for me today who'd slip up their hand. Amen. All over this morning. Amen. Just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing. And as we do, we ought to thank God for those like Stephen who've given their lives for Christ, because we have the gospel today because of them. We ask God to give us the grace and strength to stand for Jesus more and more until we see Him face to face. Maybe there's something step in your life that you ought to take as a Christian. Dying to self, dying to sin. And when we stand and sing, you ought to come forward and just pray and say, Lord, this is in my life. And by Your grace, I'm going to leave it at the altar today. Dying to sin and dying to self to live for You out and out as I should. When we stand and sing, I'd encourage you to come and do that this morning. Slip back to your seat afterwards. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, take these thoughts and plant them in our hearts, stamp them upon our lives, and reflect them in our walk, I pray. Bless this invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Number 388, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow.
following Jesus means that we get to follow him and go have a good meal down together. Amen? As Christians, Christian fellowship, I think it's a wonderful thing. Let me encourage you to do something. Sit by somebody you've never sat by before and get to know somebody else. We all have a tendency. We are just creatures of habit, and we all sit with people that we always sit with. But let me just encourage you, sit with somebody else. I don't mean husbands and wives split up, but well, maybe that would be a good thing, you know. I don't want to listen to him chew his food another time.